That was a long time ago. And the most important thing to me was when I went in my youth group, and I was 13. You could not go in the youth group till you were 13. And so it had to be on your birthday. So April 20th, I went into the youth group. And that was like the thing I wanted the most, is to be a teenager. And I remember also with our youth group, it was the best time of my life, because we could serve God, we could love God, we could also help each other, encourage each other. I wish I could say that all my friends turned out good. I don't know how many are dead. One guy was just stupid. He was throwing 22 shells at the ground, and one went off him in the head, and he was mentally off the rest of his life. I don't know if he's alive or not. I have several friends that were pastors' sons. One of them was in drugs. The other one did really well and had a good life. He's still alive. The other guy, he died a few weeks ago. He died of COVID, but he wasn't, I mean, he was about 67, I think. but anyway, so Brad is still alive. I had lots of friends, and one of them, I remember my best friend, his name is Walter. And Walter, last time I saw him, he was selling drugs, and his hair was about down in the middle of his waist. And he was not happy. Of course, selling drugs, you're destroying other people's lives. And I'm just saying, the choice friends were, for the most part, messing up. I remember another friend of mine in college. They were made for each other. I mean, they were like soulmates, if you want to look at it that way. But when they got married, I thought it was great. And then they got divorced not too long after that. I don't know how many of my friends got divorced because they just couldn't commit. I mean, they just, it's just like this person, that person didn't matter. But God didn't make us like dogs. I mean, God made us to love one another and stay together forever. And geese are more faithful than that. I mean, when two geese mate, They're together till one of them dies, you know. And animals, for the most part, are just animals. So, you know, they make want without thinking about it. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is we're not animals, okay? We are people that God made. We're made in the image of God. And we went over a lot of those verses last night, and they'll be in your notebook tomorrow night. So we're not going to go back over all those verses that we... they're brand new tonight. You'll just get that in your notebook tomorrow night. But what I'm trying to say is, the choices that you make either help or hurt your future. So if I'm going to be a bank robber, that doesn't help my future. I'm in jail before I know it. You know how many teenagers I know that their parents are in jail? It's just so sad. How are you going to help your kids when you don't love them enough to be careful what you're doing? And so... I don't know what your family situation, those of you that are connected with this church, I know you a little bit, okay, but I don't know what goes on at your house. Some of you I've just seen here at church, and I don't know, I try not to listen to rumors and all that stuff, so I don't know what you do at your house. I know Morgan's dad, I don't know any of your dads, okay, all I can say is I know Morgan's dad. I like him, he's a big dude, man. We're working at pastor's house, and we're putting up this wall, and man, your dad was like grabbing the top of the wall, and my wife stand beside it. I have a picture of that. It's like she's a little skinny little thing, and like he's like, you know, Goliath or something from the Bible. But anyway, I really like his dad. And then I don't know your parents. I know Pastor Byford's wife. Some of you know her, okay? I know Pastor Byford's son, and remember all about that. But teens, it doesn't matter what environment you're in. What matters is what you do with the environment that you're in. Okay? You have to make choices with your life, and your choices are what they are, and nobody gets satisfaction from that more than you, or disappointment from that than you. So the choices that you make are so important. And I'm just trying to tell you, most teenagers today are looking right here. What pleases me, what satisfies me, and you're not even thinking about your future with kids. You're not thinking about your future with your grandkids. And in Wheatland, Wyoming, we have so many unwed single people and the kids that they have. I feel sorry for those kids. They don't have a loving mom and dad to take care of them and train them and help them learn how to cope in life. My kids were able to finish finish high school and then go to college, and then they got married. They're still married, and they have two of them married and had kids. The other two are looking to have kids, and all of them have their bills all paid, and they're happy. I'm just saying the choices that you make a big difference. And you say, well, a lot of people are happy living in a sinful lifestyle, but it catches up to you. You know how many teenagers today have some kind of sexually transmitted disease? Or how many have physical problems because of the lifestyle they've chosen? Have you seen the teeth of those that are on the meth and the different drugs? It's just like, why are you destroying yourself when you have the opportunity to make better choices than that? So tonight, if you have a paper and you have a pen, you're writing something down, make sure it has to do with this. But at the very beginning, I just want to finish with what we talked about at the end last night. And that's your of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. So those that are in the world hears them, and they know about them. But the Bible says we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know that the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if you want to love the world, that's your choice. I can't stop you. What I'm saying is, you're hurting yourself with the choices that you make. And then lastly, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, God abideth forever. So number one, last night we said that God loves you. I'm glad that God cares for us. For God so loved the world that it's kind of neat on that verse that ten words and then 10 words at the end, and Jesus is right in the middle of that verse. And Jesus loves us that much. But then secondly, you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then thirdly, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hell is not a place I want to even think about. But God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I'm glad that Jesus did that. I mean, that's a horrible death. Why would Jesus do that other than do something for us? And I'm glad He did that for me. So you have to make a choice. Yes or no, God or not, and that choice is going to change your whole future. But I like the idea of being forgiven. I can know that everything's gone, that I've done wrong, and I can look to God, and God can help me live a good life. Let's bow for prayer tonight and ask God to help us, okay? God, I pray that right now we appreciate the new teens here tonight. We pray that you'll work in their heart. We pray for the teens that were here last night. And God, I can't change minds other than preach your word and tell these teens what we've learned from the Bible, how our life has been, experiences and so on. And they can either go by their own judgment or they can listen to others. Tonight they might listen carefully to what I have and then make at the end and tell them at least. And if it makes sense or doesn't make sense, at least they have another person putting input into their identity and what they're trying to be. God, please work in our hearts tonight, we pray. All right, so last night we talked about seeing it was here, and that was because of the pig, right? So I'm not going to go over everything we had last night, but the pig was the problem for social distancing then. But tonight we're talking about finding your identity. There is a real identity crisis today. People don't know who they are, and I'm saying the Bible says we can know, okay? And that identity crisis is also kind of goes to not listening to God, because God says who I am, and I'm gonna believe what God says I am, and I'm gonna follow that. Because on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose, I want to be who God created me to be, and I hope that you'll do the same. So and knowing who you are and what you're doing here is very important. If you look at Jesus' life, last night we just mentioned that. Jesus was an awesome guy. Not everybody liked him. The religious people hated him because what he taught was so different, and he knew God. Good identity. It was God. It was Jesus, and His teaching, His miracles, His fulfillment of prophecy, all really helped him us identify who He was. And I say that His claims were true. His prophecies proved that. His miracles proved that. And of course, the love that He had. He loved the harlot woman. He loved the Samaritan woman. I mean, he loved his helpless disciples. I mean, Jesus loved everyone and was willing to do whatever it took to save anyone. And I hope that I can identify with that a little bit. But that identity crisis of his followers was so obvious. Deficient souls in search of identity. When you're looking for what your identity is, who or what gets to define you? And last night we mentioned three things. The people that you accept their opinion of you, and the security and the significance that you have of them. So my mom and dad, what they thought of me was very important, and their acceptance was important. But there was a time in my life that what my mom and dad said didn't really matter as much as my friends, what they said, and what my school teachers and what my principal. And I remember my principal, he's a really awesome guy, but he thought I couldn't make it if I... Anyway, it's just a long story. I haven't got time to go into it. But he thought, unless I did it now, I could never make it. And that's not true. The timing for everybody is a little bit differently. But if you'll just pay attention to what God says, I think God will work in your heart and help you understand. So I wanted God to unlock some things, and I asked Him to help me on this. And in forming our identity, last night we mostly talked about the traditional identity. And tonight we want to talk about the modern identity just a little bit. And the modern identity is a rebellion almost. And that's what teenagers do. All right. Most teenagers leave home when they're, you know, somewhere between 18 and 25. And most of the time they leave home because God put this rift a little bit between them. You think you know more than your parents. That's fine, but it's probably not true. They have a little more life experience than you have. And so what they know, I would listen to. It might not be right. Again, the people around you, they don't always know the truth, but it doesn't hurt to listen to varied opinions. But then you need to, the position that you stand with God is the most important, and what other people around you say is not near as important what God says. So the last identity we want to talk about tomorrow night is the gospel identity. By the way, this is not Donald Trump there, okay? But this is like two guys trying to steal his identity. And there's two identities that come out of that, and two fragile identities. One's the traditional one, and one's the modern one. So we've been talking about the traditional one last night, so let's just review a little bit about that. We learn who we are by growing up. So I don't know what you were like when you were a kid. I remember when you were just 5 or 6 years old. I think that's the earliest I know about you. And so I don't know where you were, but I remember my kids when they were growing up, okay? And you learn by growing up. So your brothers and sisters and your parents and your relatives around you. I remember my Uncle George, he was an idiot. He really was. I know that now. I didn't know it back then. He was my favorite uncle. But he was the one that took me turtle hunting. But he also, when we were driving in a truck, he'd reach under the seat and pull out his medicine, he called it. And now I realize it was liquor, because he wasn't even 60 and he died of liver cancer from drinking alcohol. All right, so he blew his last part of his life, and because he got the cancer from drinking the alcohol. Anyway, but you learn who we are by learning the ropes, by keeping the rules. If you don't keep the rules, you kind of break the rules. When you break the rules, you're kind of out of the traditional, the mold where you should be. Okay, now the traditional role is not, I believe, the right thing. All right. And anarchy, whatever, and you can destroy the government around you. There's what you think. And if that's all that matters, you're not going to have any friends, you're going to have any family, you're not going to have anything, and you're out here in a field by yourself. And this one teenager in a youth rally we had like 30 years ago, he believed in anarchy. And I said, okay, so you're going to destroy everybody around you don't like, and now you're gonna have your own little place you're gonna live, and you're gonna make everything you need, and you're gonna survive that way. I said, okay. So let's say you don't know how to make anything with wood, and your neighbor knows how. How are you gonna get anything from him? He said, I'll just go over and trade him something that I like, and that I can make in metal, and I'll trade with him that can make something in wood. And I said, no, wait a minute, that's commerce. Okay, that's like society working together. I said, you got it all twisted. Anarchy, you're destroying everybody, and you have to be self-sufficient. He said, well, I can never be self-sufficient by myself. And I said, well, that's the whole point. we have to realize we have to get along with others, and that traditional identity is if we don't get along with each other, our society is going to fall apart. Okay? And right now, that's what's going on with our society. The Democrats and Republicans both have different ideas, but before we could at least discuss things, and now if they don't agree, like in Texas, half the legislature just left and said, you're not voting on anything because we have to have a quorum. Well, that's not even discussing anything. That's like I'm taking my toys and I'm going home. Okay? That doesn't even make sense. That's like two little kids that fight over the fence, but at least the little kids have the sense to kind of make up somewhere along the way, and all of a sudden they're best friends again, playing with each other, all right? So anyway, I'm just saying the traditional identity is keeping the rules, it's gaining the skills to survive, there's boundaries that you're not supposed to cross, all right? And there's behaviors that you're not supposed to go there, all right? It's like your neighbor rapes your little sister. I mean, that's a terrible thing, isn't it? But you know what? That's because they made their own choice, but your little sister has to deal with all this now. But see, that's what's going on in society. Anybody can do whatever they want and it doesn't matter. But I don't want anybody playing with my little boy. I don't want anybody to mess with my little girl. But see, you say, well, it doesn't matter because I can do what I want. No, no, no. Society says there has to be rules and boundaries, and that's why we throw the bad guys in jail when they rape a little girl. But see, some people think it's okay. Well, it's not okay. We're not animals, and that's what's going on in society, more with the modern society. But anyway, so last night we talked about Elsa. Elsa was supposed to be the next leader, you know, of her people, even though she was the one that could throw the ice and stuff. So they kind of kept her secret, and then we had Lion King. He was supposed to be the next king, and, you know, all these different ideas that some of you grew up with, even coming down to Woody and what's the other guy's name? The Space Ranger, okay? And Buzz Lightyear, okay. But he was a space ranger, okay. So the idea there, you're a toy, and Buzz Lightyear said, no, I'm not a toy. I'm real. I'm a real space ranger. He said, you can't even fly. And of course, later on, he was kind of discouraged in that. But traditionally, everybody got along, and everybody had roles they had to play. And so we went from there. So anyway, the traditional part, the idea of the values and what's important, but the family was important, so everybody had a mom and dad, everybody had kids, the kids respected mom and dad loved their kids, and one happy family, right? Every family's not happy. You ever notice that some families are not very happy, and nobody gets along, and it's terrible, because nobody treats each other right? Well, family is supposed to wear... But I wish I could say that all this, all these good things, like love one another and pray and be kind and compassionate, forgiving one another, you know, pick your sister up and take care of your sister, and you're taking care of your brother. I wish I could say that was all traditional and it all worked great. But it doesn't. Because everybody makes choices in their life, okay? And I already explained that a little bit. My sisters made some bad choices, and they would tell you that today. All right, they've been both married three times, and they're happy now. But they've blown it in so many ways. Has positives, like it's motivated soldiers to give their lives. First responders will rush into a burning building and save them. Additionally, are there to support their family, support their community, and they'll do anything to help their community. But now it's like, man, nobody wants to be a police officer. I don't really blame them because nobody's supporting them. We're just going to destroy our police officers so anybody can take a gun and come into your house and do whatever they want. There has to be law and order, but traditional values is kind of, it's got its positives. It's a civilized life with morals that honors authority and heritage. I remember my grandpa, I would never backtalk my dad or my grandpa. I mean, they were the most important people that I knew. All right, but to do what's right and serve country and family and church and love sacrificially, that was all part of it. But the problem is not every sheep was a sheep. All right, and you can see the wolf right there, okay? All right, so not every sheep was a sheep, and not everybody fits in. So you're a little different, man, okay? And you're a little different, and you're a little different. Everybody's a little different, okay? So how do we all fit in? How to make this work? Well, the traditional identity has a lot of failures. It's performance-based. So if pastor doesn't preach just right, nobody likes it. All right? And if you don't do what's right, your family doesn't like it. If you fail all your subjects in school, then all of a sudden you're a failure. Nobody likes it. So traditionally, if you didn't perform right, then you weren't very good. So I'm talking about the traditional identity has failures. It's conditional. So it's not unconditional, but like you don't love a person no matter what, but if they don't perform to a certain place, then they're terrible. It's breakable and losable. It's unforgiving. So traditional identity always subjugates individuality to the community. So if it's not good for the community, if your baseball doesn't match up to my baseball, then it's not worth the community. So your baseball team has to go, and I'm going to get a different baseball team. All right? So you have to perform, or you're no good. It stifles your gifts and swallows your dreams and desires. Others are dependent on you, and they're more important than you are. So that's what it came down to, these situations where they just couldn't perform. You know, the uncle was saying, you're the one that killed your dad. And, you know, the witch that was trying to talk her into doing what he wanted, all these different things. And of course, so the Space Ranger found out he wasn't actually a flying toy, okay? So his identity was shattered. Now, real quick, let's go to the modern identity real quick. And I want you to understand something. Again, this is resistance to traditional identity. So our society today is resisting what we always had. Now, not all of it's bad, okay? Love of family is important. And families don't always work, but still, you're supposed to still help those that are having trouble and lift up those that are broken. And Jesus was that way. But so traditional always doesn't work, but it's a lot better than modern, because modern is resisting to a traditional. It wants to break all the rules. So let's just look at it just for a moment. It's individual over others. All right. So what you say isn't important. What he says is most important. So he'll just get rid of you. If you don't agree with him, you're gone. Okay? So it just doesn't. There's no communication. There's no trying to meet halfway, or at least understanding where everybody's thinking. All right? It's cast off everyone. No matter who gets crushed. How many of you have ever been just crushed by what your friend said, or what your friends, you know, like three of them said, if you're not part of our group anymore because we're going to do this and you don't want to go. So it's like, so bad for you. All right. I've been left out of several groups because I didn't want to do what they did. And so all of a sudden they're going their own way. And I'm glad went my way, because my way, according to God, was the most important. And God blessed me with it. And those guys, I could show you time after time after time where they failed because they went the sinful way, the ungodly way, the unbiblical way, and they decided to live the way they wanted to. Okay. So the modern identity is also attractive, but it's also fake. I'll give you a picture in just a minute. You kind of get the idea. But Elsa said, just let it go. Okay? I don't know if you remember that. It's like when you get a little girl in there, it's like, oh, how many remember what I'm talking about? Okay, just let it go. And she just wants to be what she wants to be. All right? But anyway, you could always run back home. Most young people today, when everything... And that friend, mom, just lets them come in, do whatever they want. You know what? You're supposed to get mature enough to have your own home, not just acting the way you want to, going against everything your family's trying to get you to do right. Concepts of God are twisted. It's a secular godlessness. There is no God, so I don't have to act like anything God wants me to do. Forget it. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, just go ahead, act the way you want to, because the Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. And when you sow what you do, you'll be like someone that have just blown their life away. Then defiance of God. Now, it doesn't make any sense to me, but these are the modern generation that says there is no God, but they'll fight God like he's real. Or they'll say, I don't believe in God. And you don't talk to me, God. Or God, why did you do this to me? You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's a double, you can't have it both ways. Either there is no God and you can't ask for God for help, or there is a God and you need to obey Him. Okay? Alright, so the weak identity of the world is very clear. The fantasy, the idea of like Disney World, you can do whatever you want, it's gonna be okay, it's all gonna work out. It doesn't work that way. If you don't have a job, you can't eat. Well, the government will pay for it. Well, what good is that? The government's going to run out of money. All right? So I'm just saying it's a fantasy world to think you can live any way you want, and your success is probably going to be a failure with no God and you believe in evolution. You know what? It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work. And your education and your career, we talked about this a little bit last night, but the modern identity does have some positives. It values individuality. So you are different. You're different. Every one of us is different. That's true. I mean, that's a positive. It validates personal desires or dreams. So you have a dream, what you want to do or what you want to be. The modern identity helps you with that. All right? It salvages uniqueness. So every one of you are different. Okay? Now, I'm going to get to a negative here in just a minute. It unbridles you, so you can do what you want to do, and you're the one and only. Now, follow me here. That's exactly what God's idea is. See, pastor's totally different than me. Well, there's some things common, I guess. But you're a lot different than me. How you respond to things. I respond in a harsher, quicker way, and you're kind of laid back a little bit more, thinking about it a little bit. I wish I could think a few times where I acted rashly, okay? But my personality and his personality is a little bit different, but we're a lot alike too. But this idea of individuality, it's God's idea. He made you different than anybody else in the world. Your fingerprints are different. The numbers of hairs on your head's different, and God knows that. That's what's really cool, is that God made you unique. He gives place to good dreams and desires. The Bible says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart." Now, if my desire is to rob a bank, God's not going to help me with that, because that's hurting people. All those that save money and put it in the bank, that's not hurt. That's bad for society. It's bad for people. All right? So if I desire a wrong thing, that's not what God gave me. The Bible says if you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart, and He'll also fulfill them. So if you like ice cream, you know, that'd be a good thing, and then God will help you have the ice cream. Now, I don't know how else to explain it, but God will give you the desire, and then He'll fulfill that desire. That's what's awesome about God, is He fulfills you and makes you a unique person that God knows, but you have the free choice and will to make choices and decisions in your life. Modern identity is also dangerous, okay? It's disguised. They say one thing and they really mean another, and they're sneaking up on people. The idea of horizontal relationship, what your neighbor, what your friend tells you, is the most important. But you know what? It changes all the time. They say one thing to you, and then they say another thing. Like, if you're my friend, then that means you're going to do this. And when you do that, you're their friend. So you go rob, or you shoplift, or you whatever. If you're going to be part of our gang, you're going to have to do this. And then later on, they say, well, if you're not going to kill a person, then you're not part of us. And you say, man, I've done everything you've told me up to this point. I'm not going to kill someone. How could you take someone else's right to live away and kill them? So anyway, modern identity is dangerous. It's also conflicted and it's wounded, mistaken identity, but it's also raging. It's full of anger. You're going to notice in yourself when you go against what's right, there's going to be a temper and a rage inside of you. Columbine High School, those two guys, nobody liked them, but they picked on everybody. They made fun of everybody. And those two guys were the most miserable, hardest of treating themselves and others of just by any teenager I heard a description of. And these two guys tried to blow up their school. Of course, they were so stupid. They made so many stupid mistakes. But I'm just saying, why would you go up to someone and say, if you're a Christian, I'm going to blow your head off? I mean, why would you even care like that? If you didn't like what he believed, at least leave him alone. But see, that's where the modern identity people say, I'll do what I want, and you don't tell me what to do. But they're going to tell everybody else what they have to do. See, that's not even reasonable. It's not even logical. Now, I found this picture, and I separated it, because this guy, you know, decent-looking guy, but he's also a woman. Well, he's not a woman, but he says he's a woman. So you can decide. I don't know. I really get sick when I think about it. And I feel sorry for the little kids, because the little boy is going, my daddy's a girl and my mama's a boy. And what's going on? I just can't live with this. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I surely wouldn't want to kiss him. And I wouldn't want, if we were a girl, I wouldn't want to kiss him either. And it comes down to male or female. You say, I don't know what I am, but I'm going to make my choice. Wait a second. It's really kind of simple. I mean, it's obvious what God's given you. And if you have trouble with it, just realize that I like this. It's believe a lie. If you have problem understanding gender, I think that would solve the problem. See, God made you the way you are. Now, I know that's really a kind of graphic choice right there, but you're going to say, I'm a turtle, or I'm a bird, I'm going to fly, so let me get up on the pew, take off, and I'm going to fly. That is so ridiculous. It's just as ridiculous as someone saying this. Efficient. It's irrational. It doesn't make sense. You write your own truth. You command your own destiny. It elevates individuality. It's all promise and no product. Only you can fulfill you. It's also very cruel how you treat each other and those problems. It never settles anything, but there's all kinds of pressure. If you're not one of us, then get out of here. And that's why so many people claim to be certain things, because without agreeing, they're isolated. They're left out in the cold. There's massive anxiety, and that frustration inside is obvious because of the rage that comes about it. So it also just claps at audacity, the stupidest things. It thinks it's funny. It's not very funny. It's ridiculous, and it just crushes people. I don't know about you, but I hate when someone just laughs and they have no reason to laugh at a person. They're picking on a 4-year-old and they're a 10-year-old. I just want to go cream the 10-year-old, but I'm too old. I know better than that. So I go over and I say, okay, let me get a 10-year-old that'll take care of you. Because the way you're treating your little brother is terrible. So, I'm just trying to give you a similarity between a modern identity and traditional identity. So, in your book, and I'm just about done tonight, so focus with me a few more minutes. Others define me the traditional role. I define me as a modern identity. And some of these are good, some of them are bad. But like looks outward, you're looking inward if you're the modern type. You live responsibly, you take care of your family. This person lives adventurously. They don't care about money. They just go spend it, waste it, doesn't matter. They'll go spend it on steak instead of taking care of paying their rent. Okay? So the idea there. Seeking affirmation, you want people to confirm who you are. And over here, you're 1, 2, 3. You're demanding affirmation. You're seeking it, but over here you're demanding it. You expect everybody to treat you that way. Hard work, effort versus self-discovery and reinvention. I'm just going to change all the rules and I can make a lot of money just by saying it's my money, so I'm going to take all you have, okay? Instead of those that worked hard for it. So anyway, there's a whole another list the same way. Do what's noble, do what feels good, others focused, self-focused, sacrificial and honorable on this side, and greedy and demanding on that side. It's just, there's a difference between the two. But modern identity says it's a rebellion really against traditional. And listen, I'm in rebellion against traditional. I think traditional in so many cases destroys people. Because it's self-fulfilling. If you don't perform, you're gone. And many churches pastor that way. Because if you don't read your Bible, there's something wrong with you. But I'm not going to step up and help you. But if you don't dress just right when you come to church, there's something wrong with you. You know what? I dress when I come to church because I'm trying to please God with my life. And I'm going to dress up nice because I want to live for God. I'm not going to just dress the worst clothes I have, but I want to look nice. And our society today, it's like, dress any way you want. Is that okay? I guess, to a certain point, but there's times where you should dress up and look better. I don't really know where I'm going right there. One side keeps the rules and the other breaks. Reinforcing the rules, sometimes just like, if you're not like me, I'm going to beat you down. And there's something wrong with that. And the right relationship is the one with God. So let me just give you an illustration. I think this really explains everything I'm saying in a very simple cartoon-like way. All right? So this isn't cartoons, but it's almost like that. So my friend was on the beach. All right? And he's laid back in his chair, and he pulls out a package of pretzels. All right? there's the package of pretzels, and there's the bird, just like they appear, like instantly. You ever see that? All right. They should be out trying to find food somewhere, but they're landing beside my friend here because he has pretzels. And he has right there, and he flicks it like this to the seagulls, and the seagulls just kind of pounce on it, okay? And who gets the pretzel? The luckiest seagull, right? And all the others, did they get anything? No. So one seagull gets the pretzel, and all the rest are going, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, okay? It's like hate and eat each other up, okay? That's what I'm trying to say here, is the seagulls get the one, they eat a pretzel, all right? So he takes out another pretzel, all right? And they're all kind of settling down a little bit. So he takes out another pretzel, and he kind of goes like this. And all the seagulls are watching, all right? They're kind of like, you know, where's it going to be? And one kind of jumps over there ahead of time, so maybe he's in better position to get to it first, all right? And so he's ready to flick it, and then he goes like this, and he eats it, all right? And all the seagulls, they don't even know what happened, really, okay? But they're just squawking, and they're flopping around. Now, right behind my friend is the beach. And over on the beach are crabs. And it would satisfy any seagull. They should swoop over there and get real food, but instead they're going after pretzels. What I'm trying to say is, your identity is important. And all we're trying to do is eat and devour the foolishness of life instead of saying, God, provide for me. He said He would, and God does. And it all comes down to the last thing here. I've got 3 minutes left. The deceitfulness of sin. All right, this kind of sums it up right there. Okay? That little kid thinks he knows better, and he's got that huge jar of Nutella, all right? And that poor little kid is munching down on that Nutella, and she thinks it's the most wonderful thing in her life. But she's about to get deathly sick. All right, she's going to be she's going to be crying and not knowing what's going on. And you say, well, you know, I'm not going to be like a foolish little baby. Then grow up a little bit and make good decisions, because you're about to reap what you've sown. And I wish I could say, they say hindsight is 20/20. You know, kind of like I woulda, shoulda, I coulda. You know, these guys all are bums. They're living on the street. They don't have a home. They don't have a family. Well, the families already don't even know where they are. They kind of walked away. I feel sorry for teenagers, because so many teenagers, their parents have just walked away from them and they don't even seem to care. No wonder our generation is having so much trouble. I'm glad that some of you have parents that really love you and care for you. I think all of you do, really, but sometimes we don't see it like we should. Sin promises to give you liberty and pleasure, but leaves heartache and sorrow. Have anguish and burden on your life, you know. Sin is there, and sin comes between you and God. And when you sin, your relationship with God isn't there. It starts with you not being saved. But when you get saved and you do what's right, sin comes into your life and you make a choice saying, I'm going to follow sin rather than God. And the consequences are right around the corner. You say, I'll blame it on Satan. It's the devil's fault. No, it's your fault. It's not your parents. It's not your friend. It's not your church. It's your fault. And where you end up is going to be you, not anybody else. You have to earn and pay the wages of sin. The wage of sin is death, and death for eternity. You have to make a choice. You say, well, what if your way isn't even true? I'd rather live clean and pure and have a good family and my family loves me than live in another way where my family doesn't even care. I'd rather make good choices where I have a wife and she loves me and we have kids together and we love our kids and our kids grow up and they have kids and they love me and take care of me when I'm old, okay? My mom just died not that long ago and my stepdad is about to die. He's 88 years old. I'm glad that we can step in and help him and encourage him, but most young people today could care less about who they know. But sin separates us from God. I'd rather believe God and follow that way than just do whatever I want and have anarchy and just problems and sin in my life. You make your own decision. There's nothing I can do for that, and I can't force you to. I've been around for 64 years. worked with teenagers for, man, the majority of that time. Since I was 13, working with my youth group and all the way up through and loving teenagers and trying to help you make good decisions. You can say you're an idiot. Go ahead. I've seen too many idiots out there that tell you a whole lot different story. Lastly, I want to close with this. I went to a high school graduation in Wheatland, Wyoming. I had a couple teenagers I knew want me to go to their graduation. So I went, and they chose one of their teachers to be their speaker. And the teacher got up there, and he said, I could describe him to you, but you'd probably say I'm just prejudiced, okay? But I'm not prejudiced or anything. I mean, this guy was, I could give you a description, but I don't want to. But this is what he said to those teenagers. He said, don't let anybody tell you what to do. You just go do whatever you want and it'll be just fine. I said, what, rob a bank? Is that going to work out good for him? Taking drugs, is that going to work out good for him? Just live with this girl and that girl and that girl and, you know, do whatever you want. Is that going to work out for him? I just wanted to go up there and just knock him down and say, now, what's wrong? But see, I'd be wrong to knock him down. They invite him to come speak, and that's what they want to hear. Then that's what they'll get, and they'll go out here and destroy their lives. Man, I'm just glad that we can make better decisions. I'm glad we can make good decisions that's going to help and encourage our family and look to the future of what our kids and our grandkids are going to be like. So, I'm just trying to give you some advice and some counsel. Tomorrow night we're going to look at the more of the biblical identity, and I want to identify for you what God wants you to be. There's the kind of people that when they come around, it's like, wow, I can't. It's like Jesus, okay? It's like everything they do has purpose and meaning and builds people up rather than tear people down. And that's what I'm talking about, the identity God wants you to have. And that's where you love your neighbor and you love your parents and you love your kids and you just love your uncles and aunts. My brother died this week and he was a God hater. He wanted to live any way he wanted to live. And now I think they have a handful of friends. That's all he has. I have friends all across the country that would do anything for me. And my brother just had like 10 friends. It's so sad. Anyway, I'm just saying, learn from my experience if you want. But I would just challenge, the most important thing is what God says. And I'm just trying to tell you what God said, best I can interpret from the Bible. All right? So don't miss tomorrow night if you can, and we'll see you then. Let's bow for prayer. God, please tonight, would you work on each of our hearts, help us make good decisions for our future? These young